The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
From our portable remote studio on the Flypod New Media Network, you are listening to Politically Correct, and I am your host, Gary Puckett. Our programs are appropriately distributed geographically throughout the country, exclusively through the New Media Network program feeds of theflypod.com. And this program is being made available throughout 100% of Dearborn County, Indiana. Remember, you can download a personal copy of any of our programs to your portable media device, then listen whenever the time is right for you. We operate with a team of 35 individual show hosts, 80 syndication partners, and 17 different media domain platforms. For our Politically Correct show episodes, we openly invite any candidate to come on our program, regardless of party affiliation or the elected office they are seeking. So if you want your candidate's message accurately heard in your community, have them contact us by email in Control Studio number 7, shout@theflypod.com. My guest on today's show is Rick Probst, and he is running for the office of Dearborn County Commissioner for District 3 as a Republican. For all of our listeners, you should know it is our goal to provide you with useful information about any of our candidate guests. Rick, welcome to Politically Correct here on the Flypod. It's good to have you joining me today.
Thanks, Gary. It's a new experience for me. I look forward to it and want to get some information outside for the voters.
I thoroughly understand it, and an election day will be here before we know it. I'd like to begin our conversation by asking if you could provide our listeners with the details of your background, a biography, if you will. Tell us some more. Who is Rick Probst?
Well, I was born in Aurora in a house out on Wilmington Pike. That's actually the house that I live in today with my wife. That was a long time ago, in the 50s. My parents owned Probst Milk Company, so I grew up on the farm. It was a milk processing plant. As I grew up, I helped my dad deliver milk. I put milk in the various schools in the local area. I went to school at St. John's and later at Aurora High School. I graduated and went to Indiana University. I was blessed to have an Army ROTC scholarship. And 4 years later, I went into the Army as a military police officer, completed 20 years of service. Also, my wife was with me through college and the military service. She was a great soldier's wife, supporting me as I did what I did as a soldier. In 93, we returned back to the farm where we've been for the past 25 plus years. Myself, I've continued to work in the local area, car dealership. I was a security director for Grand Victoria Casino. And in 2012, I ran for clerk of courts in Dearborn County, was elected and served for 5 years as the clerk of courts. I've got four kids that live in the area, or close in the area, all within an hour, two of them in Dearborn County, five grandkids. We're connected to the community. I've supported local community functions like the Lions and my church and the Boy Scouts and believe in service. I hope that's a little bit of background.
I think it sounds pretty complete to me. Well, you have served in public office before, as you indicated, but will you explain to our listeners just how it is that you decided to run for county commissioner in District 3 against the independent candidate, Glenn Wright?
Well, first of all, he decided to run against me because I was selected as a candidate by the Republican caucus before he entered the race. So I've not personally challenged that individual. In February, I retired as the clerk and sent a letter to Governor Holcomb. At the time, I indicated I intended to continue to serve, but I was retiring from full-time service. Then Jeff Hughes was the Republican candidate. He was unopposed in the primary. Jeff was selected as a result to be the candidate of the Republican Party. Well, Jeff's wife, Jennifer, is basically the breadwinner of that family, and she was in a downsize environment at her job in Cincinnati, was offered a position in South Carolina. The family decision was to move to South Carolina. As a result, after the election, Jeff resigned from the ballot. This created a vacancy, and I looked at that and thought, well, I've looked to continue to serve. It's a position of responsibility. I would like to support Dearborn County and the voters and the citizens. Let's take a look at that and let's participate. Mm-hmm. I participated in the Republican caucus, as did five other people, and the Republican Party, in the process to replace a person on the ballot, selected me, and I'm in the race. I hope that's the background, again, that tells how I got to this point. It's a desire to continue to serve. I have no encumbrances. I'm available with my retirement. The commissioner position is not a full-time position, but it's a little more than part-time because the commissioners have to participate on the different boards. There's a lot of technical things that get involved in the legal processes of doing what we have to do to support the citizens.
Let me get to some of the meat of our discussion. In your opinion, what is the biggest single issue facing Dearborn County government and the citizens of Dearborn County right now?
I think it's preparing for the future. We've got to create an environment that people want to live in, people want to move to. We need to grow the population of Dearborn County, but at the same time, we need to grow the industrial element of the county. We've got to have a healthy tax base. We've got to support industry and the citizens with infrastructure, whether that's the roads, a safe sewer system, and we have to be efficient and effective as we do these things. So we've got to carefully use the taxpayers' dollars, cut costs where we can, yet still provide services that give us a safe environment and a place people want to live.
Mm-hmm. What is your opinion of the doubling of the county income tax? What's your opinion there? I mean, because it just seems like there could have been maybe some expense audits and some efficiency audits maybe performed prior to this decision. I mean, what do I know, right? But I'm just asking, what is your opinion of the doubling of this, which the commissioners and local county government has just done?
Couple of background thoughts on that. I recall my mother back when Indiana established the sales tax at 2%, and I believe at that time they said it was a temporary thing. Mom said, well, I've never seen a tax that it didn't grow and it never went away. Myself, I've never met a tax that I like, but in Dearborn County, we've gone for 30 years from the time they implemented the income tax without an increase. The costs of government over that period of time has increased, and the services that are provided are better. We grew to depend on riverboat money to pay the bills, and I personally think that has been a mistake over the past years. You know, we have to fix it now.
Well, there's a lot of flushness to having this influx of what I'll just call unexpected and substantial amounts of money. It's pretty easy to put off the hard decisions when the money keeps coming.
And I think that's exactly where we're at. It was time to make that hard decision. And, you know, while I hate to see anybody's taxes go up, we've got to continue the services. That's one of the things that I would look at is where can we be more efficient? But the dollar side of government in the county structure that we live with is with the county council. The commissioners have a small piece that they influence as far as how the money is spent, and I would hope that we can improve efficiency there. I want to reach out and work with the department heads, whether it's in the highway department or our elected officials, the judges, see if we can work together with them and the county council to make sure that we are efficiently using the money.
So you would be in favor of the creation or the existence of an independent study, perhaps, of how monies are spent in the county and maybe consider them for either elimination or scaling back? I mean, is that something that the commissioners, you included, if you're elected, would be open to?
Within the scope of the commissioner's authority, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, surely you have given it some thought. So let me ask you this. What would be your top priorities if elected to serve as commissioner from District 3?
I think we need to look at roads and bridges from the commissioner standpoint with the highway department. We've got over 500 miles of county roads. About 40 miles of that is still unpaved. I think we need a plan and a prioritization to fix that. We've got major slip areas that are extremely expensive to fix and work on and maintain, and they can be unexpected problems. It's hard to budget for a slip on one of the roads because you don't know what the weather is. You don't know how the soil is going to stabilize or unstabilize. So I think the roads and a plan to work through the roads and bridges is important. We've got to look, and I think we need to work with the Sheriff's Department and the schools to ensure we've got safe environments for our kids. And I think that the county will have the opportunity through the safety tax incentive, which was part of what the county council did, to support the schools and the sheriff's office as they create and continue that safe environment.
When it comes to the condition of the roads, bridges, the infrastructure basically that supports traffic. Is it time that the county take a really hard look at how many tractor trailers and overweight vehicles that are permitted on roads that in reality may not have been built at all for that amount of weight? Because it seems to damage the roads. Is that part of a solution? I mean, you know, I hate to pick on any particular industry, but there seem to be a lot of overweight vehicles going down roads that really were never there before. I'm not exactly sure what controls that, but.
And I'm not sure who is the appropriate enforcement agency for that.
If it's a county road, I would assume it's a county department, right?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
And it's something that's fair. I would have to research.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we establish the laws, they're there. In a lot of cases, there may be too many laws and too much overreach into our personal lives, but the people that are using our highways and our roads, there's an established standard there that says here's the weight limit, and we should identify who is responsible for enforcement. And hopefully the commissioners, through the sheriff's office, would work to identify those folks and make it less profitable for them to violate those standards. And that's just an enforcement standard.
Maybe even the levying of a tax or a fee for transporting heavier loads.
I'm not sure that that's within the authority of the commissioners, but I think it's something worth looking
at. As logical as that may sound, it may not be possible.
Right.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. Let me shift gears a little bit with you here, Rick. I mean, how much does the position of county commissioner pay, and what are the other benefits in the overall compensation package?
The pay for commissioner is about $24,000 or $25,000 a year. They also receive a health insurance program, and that costs the county, I believe, about $15,000 a year. And also, they're in the retirement program through the state of Indiana. One advantage for the voters is that I do not use county health insurance. My cost to the county is lower than other people because I have my military retirement and it provides health care for myself and for Sharon, my wife. So that actually electing me would save the county a couple of dollars.
Well, you know, we talked just a few moments ago about cost savings as being the other side of the ledger when it comes to balancing a budget for the county. It's not all about revenue. It is also about expenditures, obviously. Can you give me any examples where when you were in an elected office before that, you actually saved any money for the county?
I believe I did have some successes as the clerk of courts. I utilized what they call 4D federal funds, and that's in support of the child support programs. And that resulted in reimbursement to the county of over $250,000 over the course of 5 years. That went back into the general fund. So that allowed the county to have additional funds. I implemented the Indiana Odyssey Case Management System. This is a system that manages the case files and the information that's maintained on every case that goes through our courts. And by implementing that system, I saved, in the future, $25,000 a year annual savings. Now, the first year of that savings was in 2018, and we designated that money to the clerk relocation in the courthouse. And as a result, that relocation had no additional cost to the county. In 2017, our election system was not certified by the Indiana Election Division. And as a result, we needed to obtain a new system for voting. I worked with the contractor, and we implemented a complete replacement at no cost to the county. In addition, the system that we put in could be used for about 7 or 8 additional years. And if we did that, that would defer a cost of about $400,000 to replace the entire system. So that deferral allows the future clerks to figure out what they're going to do. Now, I think the current clerk is going to go with a different system of voting with vote centers, which is a good idea, but it will require new equipment sooner. But the system that I put in place is certified by the state and meets the security standards that just came out from the federal government last year. There's a lot of talk about elections not being secure. Indiana's are very secure. They have good systems and good checks and balances. It's great working with the election division.
You feel comfortable with the voting system as it is?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We've got a great system and great workers on election day.
Let me ask you this, Rick. I'd like to give a totally open mic for a minute to candidates when they're on. But I'd like you to speak to the citizens and the voters of Dearborn County. Feel free to share whatever you'd like to say to them. But when they go into the voting booth, why should they choose you over your opponent?
I've demonstrated responsibility over the years. I've worked in the election system. I worked in the polls starting in, I believe it was 1994. I've been an inspector. I was a judge. I've been a sheriff. I've been on the county election board for 5 years, and I've got election experience that's unsurpassed in this candidacy. I understand the system. I've worked with the poll workers. I trained them, whether they were Democrat, Republican, Independent. I had them in the courthouse, and we did training sessions. So I'm very familiar with the election process, and I'm happy with that. You know, the commissioners, we've got to look at what we're going to do in the future. One of the things that I like to say is we've got to honor our heritage. You know, we look back at the things that are in our county that we need to preserve and be proud of. I was happy to be at the Moores Hill Bicentennial last week. The facility they've got out there, what they've done is just fantastic. And Dillsboro also had their Heritage Festival last weekend. I stopped in there. It's great to see our local communities honoring their heritage, and I believe in that. But we've got to also plan for the future. And we've got to balance our limited resources. We've got to be efficient with the use of our tax dollars and our assets. I mean, I look at the county. I've visited the 5 parks. They're great little facilities, but they can be better. The citizens are looking for services, whether it's improvement to the roads and bridges, the safe sewer systems, and the commissioners have got to fill that role. Why should they vote for me? I think it's a question of trust, and I hope that I've earned the voters' trust. You know, and I really want to thank the Dearborn County voters for their support in the past. first of all, for being responsible citizens and getting out to vote. Their vote is what's important in any election. And I appreciate that past support and hope it would continue in this current election.
Well, Rick, I generally tell guests here on Politically Correct that there is an open invitation to return to the show at any time during the election cycle. So I'd like you to keep that in mind, and I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing this information with the voters and citizens of Dearborn County.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate this opportunity. It's been fun, my first time on FlyPod, and I hope that the voters find this useful. I hope I provided good information. I'm in the phone book. They're welcome to reach out to me, and I'm at the meetings that are going on in the county. I'm learning as I go. I attended the complete budget hearing with county council. I've been at the commissioner's meetings, and I've also attended several board meetings. So I'm accessible. I'm out in the community. And again, thank you.
Well, there you go, people. Well, that is my show for today, Politically Correct. I've been your host, Gary Puckett, coming free and clear to your portable media device all through the New Media Network program feeds of theflypod.com. As a listener, if you have a comment or question, email us directly in studio number 7, shout@theflypod.com. Share this show with your friends. Simply copy and paste the link for this show directly onto your social media pages. Until our next episode of Politically Correct, we're glad to be of service in Dearborn County, Indiana. Thank you for joining us and listening in today.